It's Wednesday, the 8th of June. It's 2 years since the first episode of Digital Outbox, and it's time for episode 88. Hello, good evening. I'm not emotional, but I think the other two chats with me are.
Two evening, Chris. Years.
Evening, Chris. Evening, Henry.
Evening, Ian.
Evening. I can't believe it's 2 years.
2 whole years.
Wow.
2 whole years.
If I'd known it was the birthday, I'd have baked a cake.
Well, technically it's Friday, but by the time I get my ass in gear and get it uploaded, or by the time we actually record this damn thing tonight, it'll be Friday.
It's been an epic. It is definitely a bit of a, thingamy-mariner.
I don't even know what that is.
Some obscure reference. So I'm actually drinking beer for a good reason then. It's a celebratory drink.
Both you and Henry are drinking beer. I am the designated driver. And it does also mean that I will be introducing each of these topics and throwing over to you for your insightful comments tonight.
Well, I'm just about to crack open the next beer. But this all brings it happily into a nice circle of merriment and beer. So it's all good.
Who wants to talk about Windows 8?
Well, I could talk about Windows 8. We have seen a preview of it. So this is about a year ahead of when they're expecting to release it. And it's also, at this stage, codenamed Window 8, which I thought was quite funny.
It's very funny, isn't it?
But basically, quite a surprising different look to it. It's imagine Windows Phone, but just made into a full-size screen. And that's kind of the front end to Windows. Or at least it's the overlying skin. So they're using lots of tiles and a new sort of interface to access apps and widgets. But from what I can see sort of behind the scenes, it's just Windows with a new skin over the top of it. I don't know if that's what you considered or you found out as well, Ian?
I think it's very early to tell. I think there was quite a lot of kind of harsh feedback online and people going, bah, you're not thinking this through. See, when I saw the actual demo, which is only like 3-4 minutes, but see when you look at the couple of minutes that they actually have that new front end, I thought that is really nice. It looks fast, and it looks like they've thought about the interface and keeping it very simple. I quite like the fact that we're all built in JavaScript and HTML5, except it's JavaScript and HTML5 that only runs on Windows 8, which made me chuckle. But I did like it until they actually said, don't worry, Windows is still there, and they swiped it away, and it was like,
What could they do, though? They can't get rid of Windows.
But that's been the problem all along. So if you take Android, totally different way of working on a desktop PC, and you take iOS, totally different way of working on a desktop PC, and I still think Microsoft won't do that bold step of saying, people need something different, we need to do something different. Running an application that has some different applications, for want of a word, that was a browser running on top of Windows.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a bit more integrated than that, in that they kind of integrated or interacted with each other. You're right, it's more like a skin.
I liked the way that they never actually turned it to portrait, so we could see how good Excel would work. Because I've used it at work on a tablet, and it's horrendous, using Windows in a touch environment.
Yep.
It just makes things really difficult.
I guess it'd be up to the developers to whether they want to develop absolutely their applications for the new sort of skin front end, or whether they just want to keep with the traditional back end. It's an interesting direction anyway.
And I actually liked the look of it. The bit that wasn't Windows.
Yeah, the bit that when they showed Windows, you thought, there's nothing's changed really.
And I don't know if I guess you had similar thoughts, Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not so convinced, but be interesting to see how it pans out. But yeah. It's certainly something that they needed to do. But yeah, just a shame that they couldn't really take the whole. But then you see, I suppose part of the thing for Microsoft is that where's their biggest market now? Really, it's not the consumer; it's actually in business and stuff. Mm. And so something too far removed from that is going to alienate a whole bunch of corporate users. So,
but what's and I don't think I'm giving any kind of trade secrets away. What's quite interesting from my corporate perspective, very difficult to bring in something like iOS due to security and, you know, all the applications we need to support, etc. But all our users want iPads. That's what we're getting asked for constantly. We want an iPad. And when you go and look at some of the Windows devices, they're like double the weight, half the battery, don't have a very good front end. It's a hard sell.
Yes.
It's a hard sell.
It was interesting to see that as we saw from the Apple keynote, that both came up with the same concept of splitting the keyboard to have thumb typing in exactly the same way. And also the concept of swiping, you know, full screen apps left and right. There's quite a few similarities, actually, as we'll probably become more similar.
I think there's only so much you can really do. Yeah, you know, I think both when iOS came out and also when, you know, Honeycomb's come out, that there is only so much you can be innovative about.
Yeah,
without people then saying, and I mean, we'll come on to WWC, but notifications on an iOS. And it's like, if I look at the proper, what I'd class as fanboys, they've moved from saying notifications doesn't exist on an Apple to say, well, we were first because it's the same. And it's like, well, what define first, you know, and all these things. There's only so much you can do differently, especially in a small phone screen.
Yeah, and when someone's come up with a good idea, it seems sensible to adopt it. But the problem is that nowadays when people come up with a semi-good idea or with any idea they come up with, they patent it, don't they? So that's the problem we've got.
Speaking of semi-good ideas, a couple of weeks ago we talked about how Google, the one thing that they'd actually developed and decided not to launch because it was creepy. I still can't believe Eric Schmidt was worried about it being creepy. I'm sure he's got a pocket full of lollipops. It was face scanning. but now we found out Facebook have launched it and didn't really tell anybody either.
Right. So Google decided that they didn't really like the way this was going, so they stopped developing it, and Facebook just decided to roll it out anyway.
Facebook absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So similarly, this rolled out in America back in December, but it's now been launched globally, and they did it without telling anybody. So there was no. By the way, we've turned this on, and here's how to disable it if you feel slightly uncomfortable that we will detect your face and automatically tag it and add you to all these photos.
Sounds like a familiar story. Facebook ruining privacy and then not telling you.
And Facebook in privacy brouhaha again.
All of a sudden, I feel like we're in Radio 4. Some people think this is a great feature. You know, if you look at the actual technology behind it and what they're actually doing, technically it is, you know, very, very impressive. And all they had to do was tell people they were doing it. And I think they would have got quite a lot of good press. Instead, it's turned into another issue.
Yep.
And they've had to backtrack already and say, yep, we did this wrong and we should have told people. And it's like,
I think it's kind of like the, you know, the child that...
Beacon. No, but it's like Beacon. Remember all the stuff with Beacon? When they were wanting to switch it on and nobody wanted it, and then they put it out, and then they actually had to reverse it, and then they tried to bring it in by stealth. It's like, I know a lot of users don't understand privacy and what's actually happening, but they're not dumb. And it's headline news in BBC tonight.
I was going to say, we talk about Radio 4 laughing, but actually they are now covering this story quite in depth. And that's when you get people like my mum and dad starting to get worried about it and start ringing up and say, you know,
but that's what,
have you done this?
That's what happens when everybody has Facebook accounts and everybody has iPhones and Android devices. Yep. Make a mistake now and it is headline news.
Yep. As Mr. Sony has discovered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did apologise again.
At last.
So in the show notes, I'll point you to a Business Insider article, and it's a usual article where it's one page of news and five page click-throughs to actually, you know, get all the screenshots to turn it off, or you can handily click just one button at the bottom. But it just tells you how to turn these off if you feel, you know, you don't like it, you feel creepy. Right. The rest of the news is just keynotes, basically.
We're in keynote season, and keynote heaven, if it's the kind of thing you like.
Well, it was interesting because Monday night I came home from work and the Microsoft keynote was on and the Apple keynote was on, and it was like, I can't keep up.
Yeah,
well, I could keep up because the first 40 minutes of the Apple one was snortastic.
look at all these wonderful new features we've got for Lion. Oh, so, they're kind of, you've already got them.
WWDC keynote, and I mean, the Lion definitely didn't roar for me, unfortunately. I've been saving it up since Monday.
Hey, that is good. Like it. You can summarize it by saying it's they haven't really got any new features. They've just refined a whole ton of stuff, which you can expect. So it's going to be a nice to have, but it's not huge, is it?
No.
Okay, there's the summary.
Sorry, I was burping again. I really should take water, not diet and brew. You'd think after 88 episodes, I'd worked that one out.
Maybe by 100, eh?
Oh, do I? I've got big celebrationary plans for 100.
Hey.
It's all good.
Cool, exciting.
It's exciting. It basically means I've got nothing and I'm just putting pressure on myself to do something now.
you've got a few episodes to think up a plan.
Yeah, well, I might go back to an episode every 2 weeks, so I've actually got like 6 months to do something. the 10 features they showed, we already knew. I think the only thing that they confirmed comes out in July, it's going to be download only, which I'm sure is going to be an issue for people, because 4 gig download for me is trivial, but for a lot of people it is going to be slow and torturous.
Painful,
and,
yeah.
And their monthly limit of the internet gone.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot about that as well. So I know a few people that are on, you know, I just need 3 gig this month, thanks very much.
Yeah.
The price is very keen, £20.99. Why didn't they just call it £19.99 but in the UK?
Yeah, then we could party like it was.
Well, if you're Christian, you'd be partying like it's 1980.
Absolutely. As a complete side note, Spotify have dragged me in. Their new limits on the number of hours and you can actually listen to music has now broken me. So I've had to subscribe. There we go. And I've been listening to 1980s tracks all day.
Instead of that, that was just your perfect segue into a bit of Rick Astley, but you failed me.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just add that on.
Never gonna give.
So there's 10 new features we already knew about. There's 200 new features overall. The only thing that was like a woohoo moment for me was round about we're going to get Delta updates.
Yep.
So you can, and that's like finally
Delta updates across finally. All the stuff they were talking about that night. And
yeah.
But and
is,
good news.
Is it actually going to work for Xcode? Which, let's face it, is the biggest download every single time. Every
4
time
gig.
They bring out a beta of something, you've got to download another
definitely
4
will.
Gig. It's ridiculous.
The worst one was when they actually there was something like 2 lines of text changed, and they released a new beta, and it was 4.2 gig. And there was somebody did the diffs on it, and there was 2 lines of text changed.
Yeah, so
and it must cost them a horrendous amount of bandwidth.
Well, especially with their new data center now, they've got to look after their bandwidth. But yeah, we'll come to that.
So looking forward to Lion, and it's out in July. Not long to wait. iOS 5. It got slightly more interesting in iOS 5. I think I was going to get one of you guys to do it out, but I think I'll just read out the headline and we'll get your comments.
Okay,
it's probably the easiest way. So there was 10 things in here, and I think it's actually worthwhile mentioning each of them because they were big in their own sweet way. Notifications was the first one.
So basically, you can now swipe down all your notifications from the top of the screen just like you can on Android, and notifications do no longer interrupt your gaming or whatever. It actually just pings over a little sign at the top of the screen. All good.
And I should point out, I do have iOS 5 installed on both my iPhone and iPad, and can I just say notifications makes a massive difference to the daily usage. A just unbelievable difference.
So I think Android should sue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. It's just ridiculous though, isn't it? But yes.
It's proven and it works.
And it's things like if I just look at today's notifications and I kind of left them on the screen, I've had 5 different notifications about Words with Friends. I've got two from another couple of games. I've got my Omni Focus reminders. So there's about 8 or 9 of them popping up, and they were all just popping up as those kind of modal press a button, get in the way type thing.
That's now right. And then you accidentally press the screen and they're gone.
Yeah. And you'd press it and do, okay, come on, get out of the way. And then there was also like texts and mails and messages, and it's what a difference it makes. Big, big, big difference.
Yeah, what a difference it makes to my battery life when I turn all that on my Android as well. So I generally leave all that off.
And I've been debating with Shaq whether it actually affects battery. I found it not too much of a drain today. I think it's much the same for me today. Okay. And there was two widgets running. One of them is a weather widget, which is seemingly updating hourly. And you can swipe across and get 5 days of weather from the kind of notification screen. Another one's stocks, which I'm just going to turn off because I don't care. I'm not a
minute-by-minute stocks isn't necessary, is it?
No, well, but some people it's great.
It depends who's stalking you.
Ha-ha. Or whether I'm in the stocks.
Yes, indeed.
Second feature is Newsstand, which is what we thought was going to launch last year. So this is basically, now that they've got proper subscriptions in place for magazines and newspapers, this is an app that pulls it together, looks much like iBooks. The interesting thing for me was that they'll actually automatically download in the background new editions. So rather than you having to press the button and download 600 megs worth, it should just be sitting there waiting for you.
Now, yeah, so you'll wake up in the morning with no bandwidth allowance anymore.
Yeah, no 3G. That is something to look at though. Can you get it to only download in the background over Wi-Fi or?
And nobody knows any more details, and certainly in the first beta version it's out, it's not any, the icon's there, and when you open it, there's no way of actually adding any content in. I guess they're waiting for, I guess there's a bit of a chicken and egg here, that yes, there's magazines out there, but they're all individual apps at the moment.
Yeah, so I guess they've added some APIs, I would imagine, that people hook into.
I think so.
But, you know, it's a nicer integrated way of, you know, approaching the situation.
It's what we talked about last year, that we thought they would bring out a magazine bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we thought it was going to be with a consistent style of magazines, but it does seem like they've now just left it up to publishers to choose whatever they want to do.
Absolutely. Twitter was the third one. So Twitter is now integrated at the OS level. Any thoughts?
Yeah, if I was a Twitter app maker, I would be maybe a little bit concerned. I mean, it's only integrated into certain areas, and although it has got single sign-in, so you go into your settings and you add your Twitter login, and that should then work with all the applications that are Twitter-based. Don't know what my thoughts are on it, really. You know, fine, whatever.
Yeah, this is something, though, that I find a bit of an issue, in that there's certain stuff that I would not really want right the way across without having to put in like a little passcode or something. So, you know, like the mail app or something like that. I suppose it depends how you use your phone. I mean, my kids are always nicking my phone to play games and things on it, and it's just a lot easier if they don't accidentally update my Twitter.
See, this is where you're going wrong, Henry. They need to have a device each of their own. That's what Apple would answer would be.
but it's, I think it's a very good point. It's, you know, at the moment for me, my phone and my iPad are mine. You know, but it is an issue if you've got more, and certainly you can. So I've only added one account, but there is multiple accounts, so you can add in more than one at the OS level. But it's back to the, you know how we've had the fails before where somebody's, you know, thought they were themselves, but they posted to Vodafone account. Yep. You know, those kind of things. It's making sure you're on the ball to actually pick all these things up. So I've added it into mine. It does work. You can see it in camera and all the other places, so you can tweet out stuff. Works quite well. And I think it's also a kind of, I guess it's another sign that Facebook and maybe Apple aren't really getting on, because everybody sees Facebook as almost the authentication system of the internet right now. And in some ways, Apple have said, well, sod it, let's go Twitter. And with Twitter, you can be anybody. Facebook, you tend to be that person, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That was all.
Interesting, yeah.
So Safari, so new kind of, back-end upgrades for HTML5, and it's faster, and certainly on the iPad you now get tabbed browsing, which is nice, because some of the browsers that had come out in the Apple store had tabs, and it is actually makes a big difference.
Yeah, I can imagine that tab browsing, you miss it when it's not there anymore. I did, again, think the way they bleated on about it, like it was the best thing since sliced bread's kind of...
Tab browsing! Yes,
yeah, gets, I mean, a big when did cheer we first as well, get tab browsing? Wow. 1994 or something? I don't know.
Yes. And also showed, I think it was in this, was it this part of the demo that they showed the keyboard splitting apart?
I think it was, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And it does actually work very nice, you know, very well. You hold down the bottom right corner and it splits apart, and you then get two parts of the keyboard that in portrait mode, it does make more sense to just be using your thumbs, and it works really well.
Means you can hold, the device a lot more firmly and as naturally, yep. And then you can tap, yep, away with your thumbs.
It's a nice option. One thing they did add was that they'd shown in Lion, in this concept of adding in Reader, so you could clean up the content and remove the adverts. We've talked about, you know, readability before was one of my picks, and yep, Instapaper has been one of my picks. And the Instapaper developer, when he saw it in Lion, was like, nothing much to worry about. It's just a very straightforward. I don't see anything else there. But the one thing that kind of, I guess, kicked him in the nuts a bit during WWDC was the reading list. So the fact that you can actually add things to your reading list on an iPhone, yes, and it would appear on the iPad, and yes, it'll appear in Safari browser. So it's got that ability to create the reading list, remove all the content, and that's a very basic version of Instapaper that everybody's going to have for free.
Yeah, and yes, although we haven't had the arguments coming from websites yet, I think we're going to see them, because where websites are advert driven, and you know that's how they get their revenue.
Jason Snell, who is the Macworld editor, fairly honest tweet. He says, my heart sinks from a publishing point of view, but my heart sings from a functionality point of view.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just,
so it's,
you can't have some of these things if you're not, you know, if there's no income from it.
So much of the internet is advert driven.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it'll be, because when it's only a few, you know, geeky tools, you know, and pretty underused facilities, you know, that's going to get by. But this is going to be massive for people.
Although I do say that the similarities between Digital Outbox and BBC, and we're non-advert driven. They're not the only parallels, but that's just one of the many.
Yes, quality journalism and insightful analysis are the other, another two.
Just wait to the last story and we'll see how insightful we'll be.
Do their journalists drink beer while writing? Actually, they might do.
So that was Safari. The next one was Reminders.
This is. They seem like they were kind of just bigging up an app, which pretty much screws over Remember the Milk and all those other people.
No. They've just been going on about.
No.
Been asking for a to-do list app inbuilt into the into iOS since 2007, when they launched the original iPhone. It's taken them 4 years to come up with one. I mean, these kind of to-do apps are to a penny on the App Store, and it's like, you know, why does it take so long to do it? Although I must admit, I did like the fact that the kind of location information, you could have that as an option there, so that,
and you know, that does work. I tested it at work today. When I left, I got a reminder. So you can create a reminder, and then you can say do it by location, and when you enter or leave that location, it'll tell you.
Clever idea. Has that ever been done before, or is that a new idea? Because that was definitely innovative.
The things I've seen before are things like Remember the Milk and what's the other one that I'm using that I mentioned? OmniFocus. They do things like if you tag it with a location, when you're in that location, you can say, show me what I need to do here. But all it's really doing is verifying where you are and comparing what you wanted to do. This is the first one I've seen that actually says as you enter or exit a location, we will trigger it.
And no doubt that's only possible because it's at the root of the operating system rather than it's an app. It's
one flaw. Turning that on means that your location thing is on all the time. Battery drains very quickly. Because it's got to be on so that when you leave, it knows you've left.
Yeah,
well, that's a shame. Because
I've
already think that this would be awesome for. I remember that I need to get such and such the next time I'm in the supermarket, and you just put absolutely. It to a local supermarket, and then you walk in, and it's like, you know, it gives you a list of all the things that you.
Straight away for me, when you're leaving in the morning, have I got my Fitbit on?
See,
you know, things like that. You're leaving the house. Oh, Fitbit. You know, and it's. And I don't know whether that will improve or whether it's maybe you know, do you just have to live with that? And if you want these kind of, if you want that kind of functionality, and we'll come on to it with the wireless syncing, etc. If you want that kind of thing, you're going to take a hit in battery.
So it's a kind of, it's almost like a technology beyond the hardware right at this very second.
Or does it hint that the next iPhone battery will be a good step up? I don't know.
We've not heard anything to say that they've made any technological leaps.
No, but if you look at something like the iPad, where the battery life is a lot, you know, it's significant.
That's because the whole of the iPad is a battery.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Well, that doesn't matter, does it? It's
I'm
a
just
battery
saying
and a screen. That's great.
All I'm saying is on the iPad, that is an option that I can see somebody being willing to enable and live with. On the iPhone, where you're getting a day's worth of battery without something like that, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Next up, this is another one. I get really hacked off when this was announced. Camera. Really hacked off with this. New camera app. So the one thing that was nice on the lock screen, if you double tap your home button, you can press a camera button and you can take a picture without having to unlock and go and find the app. So
yeah,
very
that's
quickly
a very
you
good
can
idea. That's been needed for a while.
Yep. And another thing, the bit that really annoyed me, however, was when they says, hey, you can use the volume up button as a snap, and everybody's like, woohoo! And it is nice because it's a physical button. They bloody well banned Camera Plus for doing the same.
They did.
I feel so sorry for them.
They got pulled for that.
The thing is, they did get banned because they put it in slyly.
It was against all the developer guidelines at that time. Yeah. But it's the fact that then 6 months later, Apple do the same.
Because it was the right thing to do,
but
Apple
it just
being
rankles.
Apple, yeah, I totally feel sorry for all that time and energy that developer went to and wasted.
I don't know. I mean, they got loads of publicity for it, didn't they? I mean, I went
like
and bought Camera Plus on the basis.
So
of
did
it.
I. And so a bit like a bit like the fart app. It was banned for months, but when it came out, everybody wanted it. It got all the press. It got so much talk about Camera Plus. They've been number one for ages. I'm sure they've made millions.
But anyway, come to their senses.
Yep, and there's also some extra features in there that actually, you know, like you can do the auto exposure and autofocus lock, and there's a built-in editor that you can crop and rotate and take red eye out. So for an inbuilt, if you look at the amount of camera apps, there's hundreds of them. For an inbuilt camera app, it's actually very good.
Yep.
Mail, it's got some new features. I think we can leave it at that. It's not too much more to say in there, I don't think. We're then on to a real biggie, PC Free. So this got a massive cheer.
Not so much a cheer as a kind of the typical American whoop and a holler and then a clap and then more whooping and a
but
couple
even
of whistles.
But even when the presenter said it, he knew straight away that this was just going to be like, this was like his home run of his presentation.
Yeah.
It would be if they were giving away a free PC with every iPad, but that's not what you mean, is it?
And we've got a young chap at work who made a very good point that why don't they say Mac free? Because it's always PC free. And one of the other guys was like, because everybody calls it PC, and I says, yeah, but that was except when Apple had the adverts of Mac versus PC,
which is true, you know, but they are all personal computers.
They are, but that's not what they mean.
Yeah,
well, it is what they mean, but it's
I go buy a Mac.
But if they put up on screen Plus, Mac free, if they'd put up on screen Mac free,
but not
would
only
a stampede
not only that,
to the latest you, Apple store, trying to get their free Mac.
You can not only that, you can do it on PC, can't you? What's the point of just saying Mac free when it is completely PC free?
No, I know. I'm just going back to the adverts, and they made a clear distinction between you've got a Mac or you've got that thing called a PC. Didn't say Mac versus Windows, said Mac versus PC. But anyway, we digress. Cut the cord. You can now buy an iPad, an iPhone, and you don't need a machine to actually set it up. So you can set it up right on the handset. Software updates will now be over the air. Again, you're going to get it's not like full patches. You're going to get the Delta updates, which they had to do.
Of course, they
have. You can't download 700 meg every time. And I just hope that means that the betas that I'm now downloading for iOS aren't 700 meg each time.
You can see why Apple take a long time sometimes to deliver the things that people are asking for, because when they do deliver them, they deliver them complete and ready and working, don't they?
I read a really interesting post tonight that said that Apple now have all the hard things in place, all the infrastructure things in place that nobody else does. And it now means it can really start to iterate well on top of that. And it is a kind of good point that I never thought about. You know, the amount of people with iTunes account with credit cards against them, the amount of devices out there, the infrastructure to deliver all this. You know, the infrastructure will come into the iCloud infrastructure to just, we're doing this and everybody gets it. Crack on. So PC free, good thing, I guess, everybody.
I think that's great. Yep. Because it has been a real bone of contention that they say, oh, this is the only PC you'll ever need, really. And then actually you need another PC to set it up. It's a bit of a nonsense.
Well, I summed it up. So I want to buy an iPad and get rid of my laptop. I was like, okay, you got a desktop? No, you can't do it.
I'm hoping that this will also streamline iTunes back down to a kind of reasonable size again. No, I'm clearly not.
I mean, you might talk about Apple having all the infrastructure in place, but they have iTunes, which is the biggest dog of a piece of software ever created. I mean, Microsoft really never had anything as bad as that. It's just dire.
Yes. Well, cool stuff. There's nothing much Amen. More to say. Game Center. And when this came up, I thought we were going to get some game demos, but it wasn't. But you now get photos with profiles and game recommendations, and they've basically added a lot of the Xbox Live features.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see what friends of friends are, and you can see what your friends are playing and all that kind of stuff. But they've also now, I don't quite know what this means, support for turn-based games is now added into iOS, so games like Sky will be easier to build.
I guess they've got some sort of interface in, so it allows you to do notification, whatever, to direct to the games.
Yeah, my take on it was that I guess each game developer doesn't need to build their own infrastructure then.
Yeah, so they can just tie it. Yeah. Say, I am a turn-based game. I am playing with these people. This is the order you need to notify them in.
Yeah, and we have noticed, I mean, the likes of the Carcassonne developer have had quite a bit of hassle trying to get that working, haven't they? Games sometimes have been locking up and things. It did take them a while to get that working smoothly.
They've got that feature, haven't they, which that says you can force the game or something, you can do something within it.
Unfreeze it or something.
Unfreeze it or unlock it or something.
Yeah.
That sounds like a debugging session that ended up with we just can't debug this. Add a force button.
But I think it was to do with, it is my turn, but I didn't get notified it's my turn, and the app doesn't know it's my turn. But the other player thinks it's my turn.
Right.
And you're left in that limbo of what happened to that notification and what happened to the message going to the phone.
Yeah. I think the technical term is deadlock.
Sounds like a game show.
And finally, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that I thought it was interesting that they had a pop at Xbox Live saying how there's more users of Game Center than there are Xbox Live. And I thought that was a really cheap.
That was rubbish.
Cheap
because
pop.
Because they know they're not going to sell as many Xbox.
If you counted the number of Xbox Silver accounts, well, there can be thousands of millions of those on top.
But they've not. There's 200 million iOS devices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's not 200 million Xbox consoles.
No.
You know, so they're going to have you're going to have more accounts by default.
Money to set it up either, does it?
I'd love to know how many people go into Game Center, because I'm sure that's a stat that they've got, and I don't think it's that many.
No.
Well, I think the three, my wife, my daughter, and me have iPod, iPhones, etc. And I think there's only me that really uses the Game Center.
Mm.
So
that says it all.
Does really?
That says it all. The final, the final new feature was iMessage, a new messaging service just for iOS 5. Owners, so basically, I don't know if it's a pop so much as BlackBerry or a pop at the carriers, but basically, from iPhones, iPads, and iPod Touches, you can now send messages. So that's text, photos, videos, and you also get group messaging, you get delivery receipts, and as I send a message to somebody that's got another iOS 5 device, they see that I'm typing the message. So it's very much like a kind of iChat type thing.
It's BlackBerry Messenger for iOS.
Yeah, it works over 3G and Wi-Fi, and myself and Shaq have been using it, and it works really well. That's about it, really.
Yeah.
So for Henry, the iPad 2 owner, AirPlay mirroring looks awesome.
That does look great. So and I have interrupted my iPad to iOS 5 upgrade to bring you this podcast.
What a start.
I'd just like to say I had nothing to do with that decision, seeing as last week I was chastised for making you switch your phone off.
out of interest, how does it link up to the TV? So how does it pick up the signal?
Apple TV.
So it's got to be through Apple TV, okay.
Yep.
Or if you've got a Mac Mini with a certain bit of software on it.
But that's not the official route, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But basically, I've got a bit of software and the bit of software is actually available through the App Store. But the bit of software basically turns my Mac Mini into...
They are going to shed loads of Apple TVs off just the back of that.
Well, 100 quid. People are just going to... And the thing is, before it was all the developer had to actually turn it on and support it and do all that. And at the time, you were like, why don't they just turn it... Certainly when the iPad 2s came out, people were saying, why don't they just turn this on at the OS level? Instead of each developer having to do it, just turn it on that, you know, that the iPad actually sends out the screen.
It's a shame that the screen, you know, you can tell the difference in the widescreen as soon as it gets onto a big TV, can't you? It doesn't fill the whole lot. It's a bit frustrating. You get the black bars.
Yeah, yes, you can actually. And actually when I was, although it's not, when I was trialing the, testing out Keynote on the iPhone, it's even worse actually with the, it was with the VGA cable. Because then you've got it's the black bars, but within like the so you've got the black bars at the side for the which would be for like an iPad display, and then you've got the black bars top and bottom.
Lovely.
For the wide screen of the
there's this tiny little area in the middle somewhere.
So you get this tiny little square in the middle for your wonderfully designed presentations on Keynote, which is was actually very disappointing.
But certainly from a, I'm thinking, you know, classrooms and demos and, you know, like conference facilities at work.
Showing off.
And showing off. But all those things, certainly it's a big, to now walk in and say, oh, I want to show you this, and you just switch it on and you do it, rather than the app having to support it.
Yep.
You know, and you can just say, here's my presentation, or here's this video I've just taken, or here's this image I've just taken, or here's this game I'm going to play.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to play a game, and it's going to be like a console.
It's the fact that it's wireless now, because I mean, it was great to be able to just plug in the cable, but to be able to do it without the cable now.
It's
come on, all the Apple fanboys can now pretend to be Steve Jobs and give their own keynotes in their living room.
Yeah, but as I said earlier, I'd need to be quarter of the weight and be dying tomorrow. Anyway. So there's a big whoop when they said that the developer preview was coming out today. There was total silence when they said that the actual iOS 5 would ship this fall. It was just like, what?
Yeah, that's the way off.
I guess
because of things like notifications and stuff, I guess they have to let other app developers bring everything up to date.
Well, no, notifications work.
Notifications work, but they're the top of the screen, and whether that interferes with any functionality of an app.
Yeah, well, I don't think it does, to be honest. The ones I've seen today, it just works seamlessly. I think it's more things like maybe newsstand, and certainly it's the under-the-hood changes. I think there's a couple of apps where, like Words for Friends, for example, seem to be working fine, but then to an absolute age to actually quit the app. So it was obviously doing something and struggling.
I think it's just to fit in with new hardware.
And that as well, because there'll be a new iPhone.
Yeah, no mention of the phone, was there?
A new iPhone September, and
do you get the feeling that it's less about hardware nowadays, as far as the iPhone 4 is still very capable of hardware, and it's as long as they keep updating the operating system, everyone's going to be happy, because what more can they can add, you know, probably a bigger camera or something, maybe
and the rumors are it is going to be an 8-megapixel camera, like, but
it's not going to be very exciting to announce a new device that's got 8 megapixels.
NFC is the big thing that they need to have in an iPhone.
But that's not supported anywhere. I mean, I've got NFC in my phone, and what good's that done me? None.
I know. I think it's going to... I see all the rumors that say this is going to feel like the 3GS. The iPhone this year, I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. But it's all about the operating system, so people should be happy with their 4 and just stick with iOS 5.
I'll hold that thought. I'll try.
Well, I'd agree with you, Chris, definitely.
No, I tend to agree with you because the 3GS at the time, I did like the speed increase, but over the piece of the year, did I get much more out of it? Not really, apart from it was slightly faster.
So the other problem they've got is that because it is all on the same operating system, and effectively they're not going to have iOS 6 by the time it comes out, it will feel just identical, basically.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, of course, that you've got to remember now that phones are increasingly coming with 2-year contracts. So you've got a whole load of people that are actually not going to upgrade until next year anyway. So, so that's, you know, that's something else that they'll keep another bunch of people quite happy.
Yes. Okay. Now on to the brand new thing, iCloud. Oh, I've got lots of notes here. I'm not going to go through all this. but I'll try and do this quickly.
It's a free mobile me.
Kind of, pretty much. So Mobile Me was the... how much is Mobile Me? £50 a year?
No, it's more than that. It's $100. 60? It's about, yeah.
60, 70. So Mobile Me was the Mac, or the current cloud version, or the current cloud solution from Apple. So the keynote was basically, let's take contacts, mail, and iCal, rip it out of Mobile Me. That's part of the iCloud service, and that's now free. So that got a big, massive round of applause. I thought it was a bit, the demo was a bit shady because they were showing you stuff that you can do now by Google for free. You know, like I'm going to update a calendar and it updates elsewhere. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, but they had nice diagrams.
Yes. So that was the first three parts of, iCloud. Then the next three parts were, so we're going to put the App Store in there. So that you can, as you buy an app, that will synchronize to your other devices, and that's enabled now. So you can, I can download an app on the iPhone, and with my iPad screens on at the same time, I see it downloading and installing all by itself as well. Good. And that's not an iOS 5 thing.
It doesn't cost you any more money either.
Yep, and that's not an iOS 5 thing. You can do that now.
Yeah.
If you enable the options in the Apple Store in your iPhone settings and your iPad settings. So you can do that now. So that was there. What was the other two? Backups. So they're going to do wireless backups.
Yep.
And
I think the interesting thing was that didn't count towards your 5 gig of space.
No. So they talked about how there's 5 gig of space for this free option. But that 5 gig just seems to be for mail, calendar, and address book. Everything else is out with that 5 gigabytes.
I think photo stream
that is outside it as well.
It's outside, isn't it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and the third one in this six was iBooks. So you can, and I guess it's the, what was it? Was it WhisperNet? Amazon called it.
Yes.
Where you WhisperSync. That was it.
I should.
Yeah, yes, Kindle owner. So exact same as that, where you can, I'm on page 99 on the iPhone, I turn it off, I go to the iPad and it knows where I was. Great. And again, they're all free. And then they were on to the three biggies. Who wants to describe PhotoStream?
I'm not sure I can.
Henry? Oh, I'll describe PhotoStream. Basically, it's the last 1,000 photos over the last 30 days are basically synchronized between all your devices and kept on the cloud. So take a picture on the iPhone, look in your pictures folder on the iPad and it's there. Check on your Mac or your PC and it's there. And I guess a nice one was checking your Apple TV and it's there as well.
So I know this is great for someone with a connection, but a photo is not a small thing. So how is it doing this and maintaining your connectivity?
And that, I think that's going to be the key question.
Big questions, aren't they?
When it comes out in the fall, you know, how does this work in practice?
My upload is shocking. Even just using Dropbox is horrible.
Shocking.
So trying, you know, every time a picture gets taken and having it all sync, I don't know how it's going to cope.
No, but I think it's one of these things that for some people it's going to be great, and for other people you'd switch it off.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's just the bottom line.
Also,
for
be careful what you take pictures of, because it's going to get tripled.
Do you know, there's just going to be some epic fails with this, aren't there? Yes. You can see it already. I was in the bathroom and I accidentally pressed pressed the volume button on my phone.
The best.
And my wife was watching Apple TV downstairs.
Oh, no. Well, it's not so much. It's more like, you know, that you've had kids and you've got your you know, gran and grandpa have got their Apple TV set up, and you accidentally take the photo, and they've got Apple TV on. They go, "What's that? What does that look like to you?"
I'm not sure.
Is that a mouse? So that was Photo Stream. I should have missed one as I've rabbited on, but I don't really care. Next up was iTunes.
So iTunes in the cloud, basically. So yes, if you buy a track on iTunes now, effectively you have a credit against that track, and it will download itself onto all your devices. But not only that, well, is it 10 devices you can
yes,
have?
Yes, up to 10.
So it can actually download onto 10 of your own devices.
Is it 10? I thought it was 5, but there we go.
No, it is currently 5, but as part of iCloud, they're moving it from 5 to 10. Result. So I guess the deal they've done with the music industry has increased that.
Well, the thing was, it was always an absolute disgrace that if you accidentally clicked a song that you'd already bought, the record industry would be quite happy to take your money again.
Well,
for a song which you've already bought and downloaded. It's like, what's that all about? It's absolutely a disgrace. And it was only really when the App Store really took off that people thought, hang on a minute, this is, you know, it doesn't do that when I do apps. Why does it do it when I'm doing songs?
Yep. So it's definitely a step up, that, you know, the fact you just have a check against the track and it's yours to own on any iOS device you have.
That's brilliant.
It's very good. And at that point, I thought they were going to say this was going to be the other 6 things would be an actual cost. All that is free.
Yep.
Which I thought was pretty good. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know if I was just drinking the Apple Kool-Aid at that point, but I thought that was very impressive.
Apple
have
realised they're
free.
Making so much money that they don't need to charge for everything.
Yep. Yep. Right, but it's definitely kind of ties up to that post-PC world I've talked about.
Yes, they've realised that actually having all this data on their own systems and in their control is the way forward.
Yep.
And they're competing with Google, who gives so much stuff away for free, rather than looking at, you know, they know who their competitors are.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just one thing you mentioned about the how is this going to affect your bandwidth. I mean, they're doing wireless backups to the cloud now. And it's...
Yeah, I mean, even with
Delta, data that
yeah,
is.
Even, I mean, I guess, thing is, if it's Delta backups and it's doing it every single time you save a file, you're probably talking small and manageable chunks, but what it does mean is your connection's going to be red hot all through the day.
Well, they gave the example that of, you know, you break your iPhone or you upgrade your iPhone and you just sign in with your cloud ID and it'll just synchronize. And it's like, that's going to take a long time to synchronize.
Yes. Yes, I mean, but how often does that happen? Not that often. And it is nice to know that it's all taken care of in the background, if it all works.
Yes. And more importantly, there was one more thing. And the one more thing was the iTunes Match service.
Yes, quite interesting. I'm surprised they've got away with this from the record industry.
Go on then, tell us what it is.
So basically, for any files which you have ripped onto your computer,
ripped doesn't just mean they're checking to see if you have the CD and you've ripped it. Basically, it's any file on your computer.
Yeah, so any track that you have on your computer that is music, they will scan it, identify what track it was, and if they have it in the iTunes library, they will let you have access to that track wherever you are, again, across all your devices. And they will charge you for that service, but it is only $24.99 a year. So we're probably looking at about 21 quid, something like that.
Yeah. You know, so for 20 quid a year, you can legitimize your fully torrented
and
music collection.
I honestly have no idea, because people's music collections are, you know, hundreds of thousands big sometimes.
I was in a chat room during the keynote and somebody says that their iTunes library is 1.3 terabytes.
So, I mean, again, a really clever service. Whether I'd say I don't know who they hoodwinked in the music industry to do this, but so the music industry is going to get something out of it, which I guess is they're going to be happy with.
There was rumors that Apple had paid $150 to $200 million, but that doesn't tie up with the amount of torrented music that's been over the last day. Never mind the last few years.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, maybe it's the music industry coming to realize this is how they're going to get some money back.
Yep. And also, they had a graphic at the end, which I thought was quite telling. So there's this $24.99 a year, and they're saying, you know, if you've got 5,000 tracks, it's $24.99. I think Google was 20.
No, Google hadn't announced.
Sorry,
yet.
Amazon were $50.
Yeah.
For that 5,000 tracks, and Google is kind of, they have not announced the prices yet. Who knows what they're going to charge you? Yeah. And I'd just love it if they turned around and went, nothing. Yeah. But anyway, and then they put up 20,000 tracks, and it just starts to click. It's like, hold on, you've actually got no limits at the moment. So they're saying there's no data caps.
I mean, does this encourage people to torrent more and just say, oh, look, I've got I bought 1,000 more CDs.
That's what I don't understand. What stops me grabbing your whole music collection right now, all those thousands of tracks from the 80s, copying it on my machine and then getting legit versions?
Yeah.
There must be something. There's a catch somewhere.
Indeed.
This is what everybody was talking about beforehand, that do you think they'll have done something to do this? And it's like, oh, I wish they would, but no, the music industry won't let it. It'll be something crappy like you need to show you've got the CD. Another thing is it's not an upload. It's if we've got it in our library.
Yeah, so it scans it locally, appears. So you don't have to sit and upload your tracks. If they find that you've got, share on your hard disk, you can go and get it from them.
You don't download it though, do you? It's only when you want to play it that it plays it.
Yeah, but you need to, this is one important thing. This isn't streaming. You then have to, if you wanted to play it and it's in the cloud and it's not on your iPhone, you need to download it to your iPhone and then play it.
But once it's on your iPhone, it's there. It's just like the file. Yes. It just stops you having to upload before you download.
Yes, but it's not like Spotify. It's in the cloud and you then play it from the cloud and it streams.
No.
It's in the cloud and it's not on my iPhone. Download
but
that track.
But in most situations,
it.
Streaming, it's just going to cost you more data than the original download. They're also obviously touting the fact that your music is upgraded to 256 AAC when you know you use their files. So that's another good point, I guess.
A couple of important points that we've forgotten about. It's US only.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yep. So
you should always assume that, shouldn't you?
So the iTunes in the cloud, they're saying, is US only at the moment. A beta version of iTunes in the cloud is out in America right now, and they're hoping to bring it to the rest of the world soon. When it came to iTunes Match, they described it as US only, and we're in negotiations for other regions.
Well, there you go. So that's the end of that one then.
So, I'd
keep up your Spotify subscription.
I'm going to have to, yeah.
The bit of supporting the
whole music industry.
The bit I wouldn't understand is if they actually convinced the big four music, companies to do it for America and not do it for, UK, Europe and all these other big places. I think it'll come. It'll just take time.
I mean, the other thing is...
iBooks took time.
The data centres all sat in US at the moment, so maybe that's got a big factor, is it,
Yep.
Delivery and whatever.
And a full iCloud service isn't out to the fall either.
Wasn't the data centre quite cool?
Oh, the data centre was
the wavy
massive.
Lines of racks, nice.
Yep. But did you see what came out today? The office they're wanting to build in Cupertino?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, they want to build an office for 12,000 people, and it's basically like a spaceship. It's a big donut. There's not one piece of curved glass of flat glass in it.
That's why they call it the mothership.
Well, that's what some other wag said. I'm going to call you the wag now. You are now the official digital outbox wag. which doesn't mean you're married to Wayne Rooney.
Anyone think Apple have got too much money?
Well, the best bit is that I don't know if all councils do this in America, but this was all filmed and Steve Jobs did the presentation to the local council.
Did he do the normal style Apple presentation?
Well, he was quite snarky because the questions were great. Like the police commissioner, whatever, the fire commissioner, is there going to be a fire alarm in it? Stuff like that, you're like, yeah, that's... But one of the guys was like, this is all looking, looks really good, but, what are you going to do for the locals? you know, what about some free Wi-Fi or some iPads for the locals? And Steve Jobs was like, well, as we're one of the biggest tax contributors to this region, I think that's enough. I tell you what, stop us paying tax and we'll give you some free iPads. And it was just like, yeah, right back at you, councillor. But they were fawning all over him. They were just like, oh, Steve, we love you. But take a look at that on YouTube. Or any of the stills that are out tonight, it just looks immense.
It does look awesome, doesn't it?
It is proper mothership stuff. So that was WWDC. Gravitated on like a fool
my
about it.
My goodness me. Yes, we have.
We have, and we are going to, I'm not going to split this up, we are going to do the other keynotes tonight.
That's fine, well. But our dear listeners can stop now and give themselves a nice little break, and they come back safe in the knowledge that we've got another three keynotes to do yet.
Yeah, well, I'll find some way of splitting it up at this point. So go and refresh yourself. Have a cup of tea, or coffee, or some Diet Iron Brew,
or a beer.
It's all good.
Have a beer.
No, I don't see why you two are having beer and I don't.
You're more than welcome to.
I've just realised there's another story in here that's actually not about the keynotes. So FT have basically done a web app for their paper instead of actually an iOS app or an Android app. So it's browser based, and this is basically they couldn't come to agreement over the 30% cut in in-app subscriptions.
Yeah, well, as I've been saying all along, it's all about the web apps. It's not about.
Have you tried it?
No, of course not.
It's awful.
Is it?
It just performance-wise, it really did feel like a slow website.
Right.
So, and the worst thing is that was on the iPad, and it's been optimized for the iPad. Oh, it's like, oh dear.
But yeah, so there's a it does raise the point there, doesn't it? I mean, there is a reason why people have developed their apps, their magazines or their you know online content as apps, because you know it does the performance is much better.
Oh yeah, and you can be much more specialized with it, but you can't be as broad as you can, so it depends what you want out of it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but I say I'm talking future rather than I don't think it's up to it the scratch now, but it will be.
I must apologize. I feel I slightly jumped and we did like half an hour of rambling and never actually concluded WWDC. Remember last week I kept going back to stories. Doing it again. I just wanted to say that I've got iOS 5 installed. It's actually surprisingly stable for our first beta. Working really well. And overall, I was quite pleased with the stuff demoed. iCloud looks really good. I'm happy not to pay for MobileMe ever again. I think I would sign up instantly if the iTunes matching service came to UK. I think I'd be
a no-brainer.
Yep. You know, for that amount of £20 a year, sold.
I don't think it's going to be long before Apple start feeling competition commissions and EU breathing down their neck about competition internally.
Depends. Well, I think Google have been their friend here.
Yeah.
I definitely do. They're no longer the biggest. They're no longer the biggest mobile platform. That's Android.
Yeah, but if you take things individually, as in individual companies who run Android rather than Android as a conglomerate. You know they're a pretty big slice of the market. It's just the all encapsulating nature of it that just makes me think the fact that you have to do it Apple's way. That's what they don't like, isn't it? Microsoft putting in Internet Explorer into their operating system didn't feel like a stupid thing to do. It felt like a sensible thing to do, but they weren't allowed to do it.
I know there were a few. I mean, there was a. You guys are probably closer to, you know, the developer tag than I am, but certainly there was some. There's a bit of kind of, I guess, annoyance in the press that some app developers felt that their apps were destroyed by this new update. You know, Instapaper, read it later. Some people are even saying Dropbox, but I'll still be using Dropbox. This doesn't replace Dropbox for me.
Well, it doesn't replace it because it doesn't go outside the iOS empire.
No, but also some of the, you know, to-do apps, the camera apps, etc. So some people felt that that was a, you know, Apple have went too far, but I think that's the risk you take. Is, you know, if you develop something that's popular.
Yeah, but this is where it's where the Competition Commission will eventually come and interfere in. I can just feel it coming already.
in the air tonight.
It is in the air. However, confession time, after the keynote, I did feel slightly jealous of the fact that I've still got an Android now. I think the balance will tip back towards Android eventually.
Exactly.
But at the moment, just the whole infrastructure, you know, when my PC comes up to replace, I'm going to have a hard choice as to whether I go for a Mac, basically. Because their whole, the thing, all everything tied together feels the right thing at the moment.
Certainly, I guess I'm kind of lucky that I've got, you know, it's Macs and it's iPhones and it's iOSs, and it looks like a nice environment to be in. If you've got something different in that environment, I guess it could feel quite lonely.
Grass is always greener. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yes. No, absolutely. You know, because I've been, I mean, that's why I jailbroke, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. I was like, I'm getting bored of
this. Amazing. It's amazing how quickly everyone who jailbroke now goes, oh, I better get it back to vanilla so that I can...
Shaq's back. Shaq's back in the fold. Shaq's back, baby. He stayed up to 2 a.m. to get it on. Came in the next day with matchsticks in his eyes.
Get it on.
And he was trying to bluff it. He was like, oh, you know, it didn't take that long. I said, I saw your tweet at 2 a.m. Shh, don't say anything.
Did he flog himself for even considering jailbreaking into the fold?
He did tweet up tonight saying that iOS 5 has been jailbroken. So
already, yeah. One day later.
Right. That's the last. Well, maybe not the last Apple talk.
I was going to say.
Sorry, Henry.
The cynic in me that says, you know, there's a reason it's particularly stable. There's not much difference in it.
The Instapaper developer did put up saying, if you think your app's going to work in iOS 5 without any changes, you're sadly mistaken. Lots of under-the-hood changes are going to trip us up. And there seems to be a lot of rumblings coming out about, you know, there is a, you know, a lot under the hood has changed. But
hence the reason fall, you know, it's a fall. Well, am I saying fall? It's a winter release.
Fall.
3 months.
It's September.
Wow,
it's the September iPod keynote.
Yep, absolutely. Lay some bets right now. So how many months is September away? 3 months. So three and a half months away. All good. Right. Right, games.
Games.
We're 1 hour in. Right. This won't take long.
It won't. It really won't.
Right. Chris, Microsoft, E3 keynote, go.
Microsoft was a saccharine-filled hour of kids playing Kinect, it looked like. Now, it wasn't quite that bad. It was completely dominated by Kinect. We did see some blockbuster games. I thought the actual setup was, you know, the way they had everything demoing was pretty cool. However, tons and tons of games that just seemed on rails, because obviously Kinect is all about... you know, moving hands and stuff, and that doesn't work when you've got to walk around. So, a bit disappointing on that front. That I still don't think we've seen a killer Kinect application shown, but they did.
You've not played Dance Central, have you?
Not for a while. So they showed us Ghost Recon Future Warrior, which looked quite cool. But again, I'm still a bit skeptical about the Kinect integration to that. They've shown some new. Funny, well, Kinect type dashboard widgets that
look. Oh, it was Metro. I thought it was kind of a hint towards Windows 8 and a hint towards that the Windows Phone.
Yeah, they're all tying together, aren't they? They're all looking very similar. So you can control your Xbox via your voice, including you can search via Bing.
Kinect.
So so you can search via Bing and bring back content and games just by talking to your Xbox. You can, they're talking about in the US, you can watch TV. And they've got a whole ton more content to add in to the proposition. So you can watch movies as well as other content. They're adding YouTube capability. And other than that, they just sort of showed the games that are coming. So they showed a very early bit of Fable. I guess that's probably a couple of years away at least. Minecraft's coming to Xbox 360, which is quite funny, with also Kinect support. So interesting how they integrate that. Forza 4, they didn't really show too much gameplay, but the actual in-game graphics looked stunning.
And I actually thought that, so with Kinect, you can, as you turn your head, it tracks your head and it'll turn your in-game head so you can look out the windows and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was nice.
Yeah, so on PC there's something called TrackIR, which does a very similar thing. It uses infrared sensors to do a similar thing, and it's very sensitive and it works very well. But you do find that actually you end up just having to keep your head rock steady for you to actually maintain control. So actually most of the time...
That is total fail. So you buy all this hardware and you buy all the software and then you realise you
look left and right just out the pits and then you keep your head pretty much rock steady. But it is quite funky being able to move. It's actually an interesting technology. So that they're obviously chosen not to use hand tracking, which I'm hoping desperately they haven't put hand tracking for steering in, because that just looks rubbish.
Well, it was a wireless steering wheel.
do they mimic your in game your out of game noises for the brooming of a car in game as well as you're moving your hands?
That's Forza 5. Yeah.
Broom broom.
you guys got a Wii, didn't you?
I haven't got a Wii.
Did you get a Wii, Henry? No?
I have a Wii, yes. Or we have a Wii.
Did you ever get the plastic steering wheel when it came out?
Well, you couldn't buy Mario Kart without the plastic steering wheel.
Well, Microsoft are launching a steering wheel that's wireless for like $60. And I thought, is this not just a heavier plastic steering wheel? That's what it looked like to me. It's probably got something far more advanced in it, but it just looked the same thing. Xbox is turning to Wii.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny that you say that, because it probably is turning into the Wii, and it's therefore I'm finding it less and less interesting.
Kinect Fun Labs and Kinect Disneyland. It was like woohoo!
So Fun Labs is actually out now. You can actually use it. You can
Kinect googly eyes or goggle eyes. So
that's out. You can actually use it. Although I haven't. I have done the make me an avatar, whatever it's called.
Oh, I thought you were going to say make me big.
No, it actually makes me small.
Oh, okay.
And it did an all right job of making me.
Seriously?
It did an all right job. It wasn't, it was recognizable. I haven't actually uploaded it, so there's no way.
Oh, do it.
You know, that's really quite interesting. I mean, I have a major confession for this podcast. You waiting, ready for this? I went to the Millennium Dome in the Millennium to see the Millennium exhibition, and I got my avatar taken then 11 years ago. And it took quite a long time, and the results weren't that great. So here we are, 11 years later.
And you can do it in your living room.
Forward.
You don't have to go to the Millennium exhibition. So they also showed off Kinect Sports 2. They covered Dance Central 2 briefly. They talked about Halo 4. I thought Halo was at the end, but clearly not. So Halo 4, there's a new trilogy coming out at the end of starting at the end of 2012. They're also bringing out, is it Halo 1, the original one, now updated for HD?
Halo Combat Evolved, the first one that came out 10 years ago, because it's 10 years since the first Xbox came out.
That's mad.
November 15th, HD graphics, going to have co-op. It will have multiplayer maps, but not in Halo Combat Evolved. So it will come with 6 maps that you need Halo Reach to play.
Right.
So
that's genius, isn't it?
It did feel a bit of a fail. That someday after the keynote had to explain that's the reality.
One thing I do wish is that Microsoft would stop having these child actors on that are just so it's unbelievably horrible to watch, saccharine kids. You know, this ideal Microsoft world that they seem to create. Anyway, it's my bugbear, but it was It was an all right thing to watch. Some of the big games did look quite good. I'm looking forward to Mass Effect 3 and things. But the things I'm looking forward to, they're just showing some content. But there was nothing massive there. They were obviously trying to push Kinect. They're doing a lot of work in that arena.
Kinect has been, it's been far more successful than I thought.
They're
over 10 million or 12 million.
But I think it's going to be a success at the... Well, it's going to be a success at the expense of traditional Xbox gamers, I think. There's some big games still coming out, which is good, but...
I tend to agree. I was kind of a little bit disheartened that, the EA guys up there, and we've got four games that support Kinect, and I'm thinking, so Tiger Woods is an obvious one, you'll be doing your swing and stuff, but FIFA? Do I really want it? And I joked with somebody, I bet you FIFA has Kinect, and you can be the goalie, and you can dive around the room saving stuff. And I'm looking at it thinking, see if that is, a bunch of cocks. Because I don't want that.
Because of this whole problem with game, you've got to move around in a game and Kinect doesn't allow you to do that. It is just gaming on rails, which is just rubbish. It's just like watching games rather than playing them.
Mm. Well, that's big in South Korea.
Watching
They've
games.
They've got TV shows and everything for watching games.
Sounds delightful.
One thing that was buried away and not really mentioned too much, but then your game saves and profile is now going to be stored on the cloud. So you can sign in anywhere.
So hackers can nick it.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, they'd need your username and password, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, unless it's a PS3.
Unless it's a PS3. In which case they could buy it with your credit card.
So this for me felt a very much we've got new hardware coming next year. So this will keep you tied over till
you
then.
Think next year, do you?
I think they'll start to talk about it next year and maybe release the year after. It might even be the year after that.
Modern Warfare 3, the game, looked incredible as far as hardware went. So I don't think they... there's still legs in the games.
Oh, definitely, there is definitely legs, and it'll be interesting to see with the other two keynotes whether they actually, is the economy got the appetite to go and buy lots of new consoles, because the 3DS hasn't sold well at all. Right, let's move on. Anything else to say? Or we move on?
I think we better move on.
Yeah. I'll rattle through this Sony keynote.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Sony keynote.
Henry, have you seen the Sony keynote?
No, I haven't.
Oh, right. Let's do this quickly. So they apologise for the outage and the hacks.
Hooray. And
quite right. I'm really excited about this, but Ico and Shadow of the Colossus in HD is coming out in September. If you've not played those games, buy them. They are cracking games. Rather bizarre new piece of hardware was a TV and some 3D glasses. So for $499, you could buy a 24-inch TV that's 3D-enabled with two pairs of glasses, a PlayStation, a copy of Resistance 3. Oh, did you get a PS3 with it? I don't know if you did, actually.
I doubt it.
No, I don't think you did. So and part of me thinks, that I think you did. Anyway, you got Resistance 3.
If you
3.
Did, then that's an incredible bundle.
Yeah, I don't think you did. I think I've just made that up. But I don't care. It's in America. And similarly, it came with some clever, watch it from a couple of different angles, and it does actually work well for two players playing games. And during the after keynote demos, people were saying it actually worked very well.
What, so two players can play on one console and see full screen of their own version? Yeah. Okay, wow.
Yeah. So
clever.
Yeah. Resistance 3. So that's a kind of big Sony title that they've always kind of bummed up, and I think the multiplayer was certainly better than Resistance 2. It tried to do some very clever things, but Resistance 3 is out September 6th. Dust 514, which I hadn't heard of before. EVE Online. Have you guys heard of EVE Online?
Yes.
A bit, yes.
Yep, so big kind of one of these MMOs that's all about, elite in space and taking over planets and teaming up with people. This is a companion game. It's a first-person shooter from the same developers. And it's persistent, fighting. So the your battle actually makes a difference in your faction taking over a planet, and you can be working for people in EVE Online. So the EVE Online pilots are going to be known as capsulers or capsuleers. and you can team up with them and start to take over planets on their behalf. So both games will intertwine, and it's a persistent world. And I think this has real potential to do something very, very different, and it's coming out next spring, summer.
Sometimes there's things that sound better in concept, though, than the actual reality of it.
But I've always felt something like that is the brave new world that we need to be going to. I'm going to keep my eye on this one. Really quite excited. Uncharted looks amazing out in September. Not to the same extent as Microsoft, but Sony announced a slew of games with Move support. I don't think Move's captured the imaginations the same way as Kinect has. That's been a real... that's really sold consoles for Microsoft. I don't think the Move has for Sony. Mm-hmm. Saints Row the Third, that's coming out. The new hardware. So this was the NGP. This was the next generation PlayStation Portable. It's called the PlayStation Vita.
A weird name.
It was. They gave some bizarre explanation.
Is it Vita or Vita?
No, I think it was Vita. They actually handed out guys how to pronounce it as well. In a typical,
that's always kinda, a good start, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, it's yeah. So it's Wi-Fi and 3G. It's got a great screen on it. Had to laugh, but during the keynote, they said, you know, if the Wi-Fi one's coming out, the 3G one we've partnered with AT&T. People laughed and booed during the keynote when that was announced. But the most impressive thing was the pricing. So I thought, because it was $249 for the Wi-Fi version, and for 3G it was $299. But the UK price is translating to £229.
Mm.
Yeah, that doesn't add up, does it?
No. I was expecting
well,
like a 180.
Sony.
Or Apple. Or anybody else that can rip the... Anyway. I was thinking maybe like a 199 at the very most. You know, so that even that would have been... Felt a bit of a sting, but 229 just feels very high. Launched globally by the end of this year. They showed some games, so Street Fighter X Tekken, Wipeout, Mod Nation Racers, and of course Ridge Racer, because that's the only time they ever release a Ridge Racer game is when a new console's
they
launched.
They want to sell something, yeah.
I didn't see too much more at the keynote. Didn't really talk too much about specs. I've swiped this out of This Is My Next, who did a... And this is my next, if you don't know, is all the guys from Engadget. They're going to do another technology website. And at the moment, they're just posting out of This Is My Next. So their feeling was, it's big, it's not very pocket friendly, but it's not too bad. It was light. They actually thought it felt a little hollow. But they said it was quality. And certainly, if I think back to the original PSP, you couldn't argue about the quality. It was great. They felt that the back touchscreen felt kind of cheap, but they said the screen was amazing. They said the games, you know, Virtua Tennis especially looked really good, and they said the analog sticks, which have never been really good in portables, said were very good as well. So they gave it quite a good thumbs up.
And this is all well and good, but is it even on anyone's mind that this is even worthwhile looking at?
Henry, would you buy one?
No, I'd buy an iPod Touch.
Chris, would you buy one?
No.
Would you buy an iPod Touch?
No, I'd buy an iPad.
I feel the same, but maybe we are getting to that age where it's not us.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's more that just got to the point where handheld gaming is just not what it used to be.
For me, the iPhone, or as Henry said, iPod Touch or iPad have taken over for me. That's my mobile gaming for me.
I think the other thing is, of course, that, you know, I mean, what sort of prices are they looking at for games? Because I think that's
something
else
that point.
People are
looking
at when they think, right, so no, I can buy one or two.
It's going to be 40 quid,
things.
Isn't it?
Yeah, if I buy one or two of these games for that, and then actually I could buy tons of things on an alternative platform.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's the key point. I mean, people moan about iOS games if it's like $6.99, $5.99, or $9.99, as if it's like a shocker. You know, and 3DS games are coming at $20, $29, and $35. Mm-hmm. It's very different. So that was Sony. Right, and I think Shaquille made a really good point. He came on Communicator tonight. Not Communicator, that's as if I'm at work. He came on Adium tonight. And he says, you know what, we've not talked about the last 2 days. Because even though he doesn't do any podcasts and he does talk incessantly about technology, he says, out of all the keynotes, there's one thing we've not talked about. And I just replied with a what? And he went, Nintendo.
Nintendo?
Just not even. Yeah. Oh, well done. Again, I'll do this briefly. So there was a whole load of 3DS games, but it was 3DS games are already out. So Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword's coming. Well, that's coming to Wii, sorry. But there's a 25th anniversary of Legend of Zelda coming out to the 3DS. Luigi's Mansion 2 is coming out to the 3DS. Super Mario 3D is coming out to the 3DS. Super Mario Kart's coming. Star Fox 64 is coming.
It's pretty much everything you expect again. A bit like Ridge Racer.
Yep.
It's everything you expect is all regurgitated and redone.
That for me was just total fail. You know, it was just, I'm not interested.
Well, that's
in these
the point
anymore.
At which the video of the actual keynote failed for me. So that was it. That's all I got from the keynote.
Okay. So brand new hardware, the Nintendo Wii U.
Is it the Wii U? Or is it just the Nintendo U?
It's the Nintendo Wii U. And I don't know if it's going to in future be called Wii U or Wii U.
Or Wii? Chris.
So I'm a bit bleh. There's lots of rumours about this. And they did say they were going to have new hardware. There's lots of rumours that it was going to come with like a touch screen controller with a 6-inch screen on it, and you're like, what? And you know what? It does.
It blooming well did come with one, and still people don't really understand it, do they?
So the console itself is going to, you know, it's going to pump out in HD. It'll come with HDMI. It's got all the kind of usual specs. It's got 4 USB 2 controller slots included. Similarly, you can plug in, you'll be able to plug in external drives as well. All the old Wii controllers will work on it. So the Wii remotes and remote pluses and nunchucks and all that nonsense, and all the classic controllers will all plug in as well. So I think they've sold so many Wiis that at least they're reusing a lot of the hardware.
And I think that makes a lot of sense because you know, where can they take those kind of controllers really in terms of, you know, it's difficult for them to progress them any further really. So
Yeah, it's good. I think that's what stuffed things like Rock Band as well. There's only so many times you can buy a drum kit. You know, people just, you know, they're not going to support buying new sets of drums every year. Anyway, the new controller was the kind of strangest things. It incorporates a 6.2-inch touchscreen, 16x9 touchscreen, traditional button controls, you know, at the side.
It looks like a tablet with lots of buttons on it.
Yeah, well, it was like if you think of the kind of Wii controller, just really stretched out and an iPad slipped in.
It looks like a Sonos controller, actually.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, you're right. It does look like a Sonos controller. And interestingly, it's single touch, but there's nothing that's running the graphics on that touch display. They're all getting streamed from the console.
Yeah, so it's wirelessly streamed to the handset, and so you have to be within a certain distance of the console in order for this screen to work, but they're saying you can use the screen to actually play the games on if say someone's watching TV, for example, but also it can act as a secondary screen in games, and they've shown examples of how they might end up using this in game, although none of those examples seem very convincing when I saw them.
Some people saw this as like the show stealer. I was particularly underwhelmed.
It's hard. I mean, there was one interesting one where they showed how you could use the controller to look elsewhere off of the screen. So the screen showed a particular, you know, region of a view, and then you could use the mini screen to sort of pan around and have a look what else was, you know, around the area. But so clever stuff, but I just don't see this as the kind of massive thing that the Wiimote ended up being, you know, when it first got released. That was a big paradigm change. This seems, I don't know, it seems unwieldy.
Yeah, and I just can't see people not just going out and buying a Kinect, to be frank.
Yeah.
Although there are certain Nintendo aficionados who, you know, will do anything to get their hands on the latest Zelda or Mario games. And
yes. Sure, and those games are going to do very well because they've got the, you know, the in-house developers or whatever to do it. But it's multi-platform titles. This controller makes no sense in those situations, does it really?
Not at all. No.
You know, they're not going to develop a special edition with, you know, taking full account of this hardware. The only games that they're going to get are kind of specific to them, and is the market going to be big enough to make that worthwhile? Because the extra effort of making games with this is going to be huge.
Agreed. Not out till next
year. End of my sermon.
End of next year. Sorry, not out till next year. And the graphic demos I showed were all from 360, PS3 and PC, which got poo-pooed by a lot of people. And all they said was, well, it's a new console and nobody's developing for it yet. And that's the same. We'll have the same output.
And they said yet, and I say will ever.
But
a couple other very brief E3 announcements, because we are taking a mic with the time here.
No, our users have had a cup of coffee and tea now. It's fine.
Oh, that's right. I've also played some airplane music and had a break of 4 minutes. So this is actually, we're now at 1.5 hours.
Yeah. Have you not split it in two? You got a part one and a part two this week.
We did that once before. Me and Shaq did that in one of the podcasts, and I'm sure it was another Apple keynote that we rambled
surprise,
on.
Surprise.
We rambled on for about an hour, and then we thought, we'll just keep recording, but I'll split it.
Do you get the feeling we're just making it worse by keeping talking about it?
Mass Effect 3 is coming out March 6th next year, which I'm sure excites Chris.
It does, yes.
Battlefield 3 is coming out October 25th. I think that could be nice.
I never played any of the Battlefields, so I don't know.
Oh, hang on, I did.
I played one of them.
You did? You but played
only
the
old
one.
Yeah.
There's a new social client coming out for FIFA. Known as Football Club. It's going to track status, bragging rights and progression. So think Bungie Pro or Call of Duty Elite.
And being EA, of course, they're going to charge billions for it?
No, it's free.
Oh, my goodness. Has something changed within EA?
Yeah, it's free this year to get you sucked in, and then next year they'll say, you know what? See, if we add this little bit in, we need to charge.
They're the drug-pushing pimp at the school gates.
Tomb Raider next year being reimagined. It looks particularly lovely, actually. A lot more graphically disturbing. You know, you see Lara getting burned and stabbed and all sorts of nonsense. But in many ways, it's the classic Tomb Raider that we all kind of knew many moons ago. And on live, the
service that we never thought would be
the service that just won't die.
It won't go away. So this is the online streaming games where the games are hosted elsewhere and you just stream the video through to your screen and have a controller, which surely could never work, but appears to in America.
Yep.
And now it's
I'm going to let you do the rest of the story. Crack on.
Well, it's coming to the UK. Hang on. I don't know what the date is. It's coming to the UK, BT in collaboration with BT, and probably at the expense of all BT connections, I would expect. But there we go. It's coming. Is it next year? Oh no!
This autumn.
June.
Oh no! June. June's like today.
Oh, yeah. I am now 2.5 beers down.
It's coming this autumn, and I'm just checking, because last night there should have been a sign up page went live.
Okay.
That was the June 7th.
You're going to have a kick-ass connection to do it. And I think you have to be pretty close to data centers and things for it to actually work. So they're probably.
And they've not confirmed also, because it says brought to the UK, but in collaboration with BT. And I don't know if that means it's only BT it's going to work with.
Who knows? But I just hope that it's not, because to make this thing work, they're going to have to give that traffic ultra priority, and I expect that ultra priority is going to be at the expense of someone somewhere.
Yes. So if you go to onlive.co.uk, you can now sign up free now. This autumn, get in the game instantly. Free sign up reserves your player tag and gets you early access to OnLive UK this autumn. It just says BT is a preferred partner, which is interesting.
Just sounds like BT have probably helped out with a data centre maybe or something.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll sign up just now. Well, I won't. I'll finish the podcast off. That would be rather rude. But is that Henry yawning? We're finished with games, Henry. Is he actually there?
I think he's actually passed out with boredom.
Yeah.
Crack on.
This is our final story, and quite possibly the most damaging DM Twitter mistake yet.
Yep, whoops.
So a chap in America, Republican, Anthony Weiner, So last week in his Twitter stream, there was a rather unfortunate picture of a pair of pants and a certain member was slightly erect, which he then took off his Twitter stream and said somebody's hacked his account. And that was all fine until Monday. He held a press conference and confessed that he was trying to send a DM to some young blonde thing somewhere and had accidentally sent it to all his Twitter followers instead.
Oh, he didn't just send it to her. He sent it as a joke.
Oh, that was it. It was a joke. And then he panicked and then he removed and he lied.
Yeah, whoops.
But he said that the best bit, he said he was having cursory direct message contact with the woman and that she was not one of the other women he was having an online relationship with.
His wife must be loving him right now.
Yep, he's not going to stand down. He's going to fight for re-election next year. Good luck with that.
Indeed.
And that's us with no picks.
I think
we're done.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
we are done.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. So, if you want to find out more about us, we're at digitaloutbox.com. Please email us info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter as Digital Outbox. We're on Skype as Digital Outbox. Henry, where can we find out more about you?
You can find me on Twitter as TalkRhubarb, or you can look at my very occasionally updated blog at talkrhubarb.com/WordPress.
Chris?
If you can be asked, it's Cheesy UK, although really it's just a spam feed at the moment of my Fitbit. That's about it.
I did notice your weight went up, which I know is really nasty to say, you have lost a lot, but I can't help it. For me, it's iandee.net. Twitter is Sweeper, or you can follow How Fat Is Ian?
You can.
Where you will get daily updates on my ever worrying weight loss. I told somebody when I was playing badminton tonight that, because they said, oh, how often do you weigh yourself? I was like, daily. Yeah, but, you know, is it really daily? And I went, yeah, How Fat Is Ian? It's online. Bring it. It's all there.
It's all there.
Well, it's so not thanks. All there. You've lost quite a bit of weight.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in for 2 years.
Yeah, and that's just how long it feels, this particular podcast.
Yeah, 2 years and a half now.
It is exceptionally long. But there was a lot to talk about. We're all super excited. Thanks for that. Cheers now. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good grief.
Wowzers.
Yeah. I've now got an hour and a half of Apprentice to go. Oh, I'm looking at Twitter. Don't.
No, don't
look
do
at
that.
Twitter.
Oh! Fool.
Sorry, I forgot. Oh.